We have a great show planned for you today. We are joined by semi-regular classroom technology correspondent Jason Schmidt from Omaha, Nebraska. We'll be talking about professional development opportunities for this summer. All that and more coming up next on the podcast. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. This is episode 238 for Wednesday, May 30th, 2012, and summer is here. Welcome, Sally. How are you?
Good morning, Martin. I'm great. How are you this morning?
Excellent, excellent. Have a good Memorial Day weekend, did
you? Yep, coming off a nice long weekend, and yeah, I think that is the official beginning of summer.
Unofficial beginning of summer, right? We have three more weeks before the official, but we had mid-90s on Sunday, so that's official enough for me.
Definitely.
And joining us is our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, direct from Omaha, Nebraska, Jason Schmidt. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Martin. Good morning.
And you were up in our parts last weekend.
Yeah, I was. I had the opportunity to visit a couple of nieces and a nephew. Gosh, there are so many of them. a couple of relatives graduated. From Luther Prep last weekend. So we made it to a couple of graduation parties and made it out to Oconomowoc for a wedding and drove through the night to get back to Omaha. So it was a good weekend. It was a good time.
Good. Well, as one might guess, we're going to talk about education on this education-focused show, this once-a-month thing that we do here. That's why we have Jason in. And we thought that as we approach the summer, it would be good to talk about professional development. And summertime is really optimal time for that, for a teacher in particular. As things slow down a little bit, they're looking to broaden their skill set. Some are taking classes. Some are just doing taking advantage of individual growth opportunities. And all three of us, in one way or another, are either getting smarter or trying to share some knowledge, or getting smarter by sharing knowledge. In my case, we are all doing some presentations this summer, so we felt that it would be good maybe to start there. I think all of us are actually teaching courses at MLC, right?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm on the docket for MLC this summer for sure.
Some of us sooner rather than later, and I'm fortunate that I picked a date later in the summer because I've got some work to do yet. But Jason, what are you teaching this summer?
Well, I've got two classes that are on the docket so far this summer. The one that is definitely a go starts on June 10th, and that's Technologies for Preschool to Second Grade. The main focus of the course is to kind of focus on not just what you can do with technology with kids that are in preschool to second grade, but also the why. Mm-hmm. You can't do one without the other. So we'll focus on, do some of the kind of the fun stuff with websites and apps and tools and that kind of stuff, but also focusing on kind of the pedagogy behind why we do those kinds of things and what makes a quality early childhood resource. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is one of those experiences where I definitely learned a lot. Sure. By preparing the materials, because this was an area of not a huge comfort for me.
Right. And what attracted you to this topic in the first place?
Well, I have small children of my own. Mm-hmm. And kind of seeing them interact with things has always been really fascinating. But then I also work with a lot of really talented teachers, and seeing some of the things that they do kind of inspired me to share some of their stuff, and then also kind of take it a step further and incorporate that into what I do just on a regular basis. And then I thought that was something that would really benefit the listeners of this podcast too.
Sure.
You know, just the fact that there are so many early childhood ministries throughout the throughout the Synod. You know, that's something I know is an identified area of interest and an identified something that people really want to know more about. So
sure.
I figured this was a nice way for me to serve.
Not to put anybody on the spot, but maybe to make this a little bit of a sharing session for each maybe class that we talk about, maybe there's just one tip that we could give away rather than having to take the class, maybe just to whet the appetite of maybe somebody considering the class as we go down the line up here, just something that you could quickly share as a takeaway.
Ah, a little peek behind the curtain. Huh? one of the big takeaways that I hope you get from my class would be, we're one of the things that we'll work on is a way to evaluate websites and resources. And that's not going to be something that I provide. That'll be something that we kind of collaboratively work through.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people have things that they like, but they don't necessarily have the best pedagogy behind them.
Sure.
So kind of identifying those quality resources and looking at them.
Yeah. So what's one thing that you should look for when identifying a quality resource on the web?
One of the really big things is actually a stable company behind it.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of things are here today and gone tomorrow, or get bought out, or aren't maintained or updated or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the key criteria that I hope people will be looking for, and
yep.
hope to guide them along the way.
And usually when you've got a stable company behind it, they produce other ancillary resources that come in handy too. So it's not just a one and done as well. Same goes for, web 2.0 companies, where you can get all wrapped up in, jumping into a particular tool, and then the next day you're having to find a new home for some of your stuff or some of your content. So, yeah, it's great advice. And then you're teaching something else at MLC potentially.
Yeah, the other one is not a go yet, but, maybe we'll have a whole bunch of people sign up for it, and, especially after this podcast.
Sure.
Maybe and then we'll have a go. But the other class that I'm teaching is using Google tools to communicate, create, and collaborate. And this is, when I talk about a stable company, we'll talk about Google.
Mm-hmm.
But the main focus of this course is just going to be kind of an introduction to Google tools and maybe some of those tips and tricks that you don't necessarily know about. But then beyond that, how do you use these tools in the classroom? So, the idea of setting up using Google to create a classroom wiki, or have students write a collaborative document. One of the big activities that I'm going to do is actually a language arts activity, and we'll write a collaborative choose your own adventure story. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Awesome. Okay. Sally, how about you? What's up for you this summer?
Well, I'm on tap in the month of July at MLC for teaching a one-hour class called Basic Photo Manipulation. It's a brand new class. It has a really short description out on the MLC website right now, but it is definitely a go, but there's still room for more to join in the fun if that interests you.
Mm-hmm.
I think images are very powerful. And images mm-hmm. on websites, images in your communication are going to really have an impact. And there's so many creative ways that you can make use of imagery. And so we want to go over the basics. We want to understand, different file types and resolutions and all of that kind of stuff. But we want to actually be hands-on in this class. So I'm going to have the students set up a shared Flickr area so we can look at each other's work and use just a real variety of tools. One of the things we're going to do is download the free Snagit demo and spend some time on Snagit, just annotating images and, doing the image basics. And so should be interesting. I'd like it if the students walk away with not just the mechanics of image manipulation, but also creative uses for images, you know, be it on the web or there's lots of really neat video slideshow things you can do. There's print things that you can do. So a lot to pack into 3 weeks.
Yep. Great.
Should be fun.
Yeah, that sounds like an awesome course. I am teaching a course as well. This starts in mid-July, goes for 4 weeks. I should mention, or we should mention, these are all online courses. You know, these are not in-person courses. Mine is called Dynamic Classroom Presentations. It's a one-credit course, and I'm really excited to give. I give a lot of presentations, but I've never given a course or a presentation or a workshop on presentation creation. So this is a whole new course. And we'll cover a number of things, obviously the technology behind it, because there are a lot of presentation tools out there from, you know, not just PowerPoint and Keynote, but Prezi and SlideRocket. And, you know, there seems like a new presentation technology out there every week. So we'll be looking at all the options out there to keep things fresh. But most of the time, we're going to be talking about how to create a presentation that resonates with the audience. So we'll be talking about things like knowing your audience and how to think through that and how that makes a difference in how you put a slide deck together. We'll be focusing on imagery a lot as well, Sally. The importance of imagery is really heightened when it is, you know, on the big screen and you're standing next to it and you're needing to get a message across. And we'll be talking about maybe taking your own images. A lot of people use stock photography, but I think there's value in, you know, kind of having a photographer's eye. And as you live life and as you have that camera wherever you go, whether it be on your phone or the point and shoot or maybe you're taking that to the next level with a DSLR, God provides many opportunities for you to take photos that could be used later in your presentations, and then how to kind of build up and tag that library so that you can reuse those photos. But I think probably the single biggest tip that'll come through in this course is how to keep things simple. Anybody that's read Death by PowerPoint knows that, you know, the first mark of a killer, you know, in a negative sense, a killer PowerPoint is too much text. And I think we've all been guilty of trying to cram too much text on there. And, you know, how to keep that simple, how to make it just a bullet point or two or a single word or two, and then work and present that presentation. So the final project will be actually a presentation that they make, whether it be a screen share or whether they take video of themselves giving the presentation. Because that's a majority of the dynamic of a presentation is how you deliver it. So I'm looking forward to this. It'll be a lot of fun, especially trying to do this via online technology.
I could see that would be really useful for a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. But definitely teachers and pastors do a lot of presenting, so valuable.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, I would say. Yeah, and I don't have any scientific data, but I would say probably a majority of teachers now use PowerPoint in some way or another during the typical classroom experience. Just looking at how my wife works, she uses PowerPoint almost every day. And I know a lot of teachers that do that, so for one lesson or another. There are a couple of other things that we're doing this summer as well. I'm presenting at the Lutheran Schools Leadership Conference. That is in, when is that? That's in June out in Pewaukee. And my presentation topic is technology and wells. And that's where I'm going to take a look around the Synod at cool things that teachers and pastors are doing and organizations in general are doing in the area of technology and sharing the well, so that maybe people would be inspired to try something similar or variations of it. So that'll be a short little workshop that I'm doing out there in Pewaukee in June. Jason, you're doing something at WLC this year.
Yeah, we talked to Joe DeFore a couple couple months ago about the Google Education Summit at WLC this summer. And I will actually be presenting on Wednesday and Thursday at that summit. That runs it's the second week in July. Mm-hmm. So I think it starts on, what is that, the 10th, and then it runs through the 14th.
So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's going to be a really neat opportunity. That's going to be a really neat,
it's kind of a Google Apps immersion. Really?
yeah, pretty much. That's a big trend recently in education, and you can't beat the price either. So, mm-hmm. I know that there are a lot of Wells schools that are taking advantage of that as well. So,
sure.
a lot of really good opportunities for making use of this really powerful tool. So,
right. Very good. That's exciting. We'll follow that, and I know that. The last summit they did last year, was it on iPads, I want to say, was very popular as well. So I think Joe is anticipating a good turnout for this. And Sally and I are doing some more teaching, training, / workshopping. Final Web, right, Sally?
/ hanging out, apparently.
Yeah.
So doing Final Web for Dummies and Final Web for Teachers all online via Google Hangouts. So should be an interesting experience. All you need is a webcam and a headset to participate, and you can learn all about your Final Web website. The Teacher's Day is dedicated to like having a classroom website, the basics you need to know to manage that site. And then the Dummies Day is divided into three separate days: beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And really, it's a top-down look at all that Final Web has to offer, and lots of great foundational information, lots of creative uses of your site. Anything goes in the Dummies class, and so and we're doing that for two different weeks. Martin's taking a week of Final Web training, and I'm taking a week as well. So if you'd like to participate, you can pick between the week of July 9th or July 16th, and information is online for all of those training opportunities.
Great. And Sally, you're doing a Bible camp.
Yep, got to get in a plug for Bible camp. High tech involved in that.
Uh-huh.
That's our vacation Bible school, basically. But yeah, I'm kind of co-director of that effort, and we do make some really cool videos and mm-hmm. use lots of technology to pull off all that goes on at Bible
camp.
We'll
be looking for a report from those
fun.
Efforts. Yeah, keep us posted.
Definitely.
And there are obviously some things that we are going to learn over the course of the summer. ISTE is every year, and this year it's June 24th to 27th. Where is ISTE this year?
I think it's in San Diego.
Oh. And not to worry, if you can't be there in person, there are ways to follow it, right?
Definitely. All you have to do is be a Twitter person and follow a few ed tech people on Twitter, and you'll hear all about ISTE because they use a hashtag system, and there's always just tons of great information that's shared specifically via Twitter. You certainly can follow the conference website as well.
Mm-hmm. And even if you don't follow the conference, ISTE all year round has online courses. Jason, you're aware of those, and you're an ISTE member, right?
Yeah, ISTE offers a couple of different online courses that you can take throughout the year. Some of them are, I think they're called digital workshops or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that run, they're self-paced. So you pay for it and then you have access to it for an entire year. And I think those self-paced courses are only like $60 or so. $60 or $90, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have moderated courses that are a little bit more expensive, but they're also a little bit more in depth too.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the added benefit of having a facilitator in there as well.
And you have to be an ISTE member to take these, or you just get a discount if you are?
You just get a discount if you are an ISTE member.
Okay.
But if you are an ISTE member, I think it's 30%. you get 30% off. But the ISTE membership is something like $99 a year, I believe. So, you know, if you do a lot of these things, it'll pay off. But, you know, you have other benefits that kind of come along with that as well.
Right. And you are a member, right?
Yes, I am a member.
And you get discount 60% on webinars, 30% on books. So that, and, that sounds like a great deal. ISTE, for those of you not aware, stands for International Society for Technology in Education. And they're a very active group, not just in advocacy, but in materials. And they have other get-togethers other than just this national conference, I think, right?
Yeah, they have this one in the summer. This one is for teachers. And then they have a leadership conference that they have in October that's geared more towards administrators and policymakers. Mm-hmm.
So definitely something your school technology person should be aware of. At least one person on your campus should probably have a membership.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of great resources come through that. Mm-hmm.
And to wrap up this section, Jason, you're also attending a conference, another Google conference. This as a participant, right?
Yeah, this the one that I'm attending is the Great Plains Google Summit. Mm-hmm. That's taking place in Lincoln, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And I think there might be a couple of spots left, maybe, if there's anybody in the area who might be interested in attending that. Okay. But this one is, unlike the WLC one, this one is actually sponsored by Google. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing in national trainers from all over the country to present their sessions there. So that one is going to be, I'm really looking forward to some interesting material coming out of that one.
Have you been to one of these before?
No, this is a brand new thing, actually. Google just started. This is the first summer that they have been sponsoring these Google summits.
Okay.
They've been primarily out in California before this point, but now they're nationwide. There are a couple of different ones all over the place.
Cool. And finally, Sally, we should probably make our folks aware of some things we're doing over the summer.
Yep. You know, Wells Tech is famous for summer series. Every summer we've done
famous
something special
infamous,
and a little bit different in our summer podcast. And this summer is no different. We're going to have the Wells Tech Summer Software Showcase. Try to say that 5 times fast. Mm-hmm. So, and our goal will be to feature one piece of software each week and kind of delve into how it can be used for ministry. So we want you to walk away from these podcasts with ideas for ministry application and a better understanding of what the software can do for you. So we're looking for suggestions from our listeners about software you'd like to learn more about. Maybe our teachers want to learn more about a grading system or an online student management system, something to that effect. Or our pastors in the audience maybe want a more in-depth look at the Glow Bible or some other resource that would be a benefit to them. So send us your suggestions because we'd like to know what you'd like to learn about.
Yep, and in traditional or typical Wells Tech fashion, we'll obviously have the show about it, but maybe the greatest part of what we do is the collection of resources that come out of this on the website. So kind of we try and build a one-stop shop for a particular topic, and Sally does a great job at that, and I'm looking forward to, you know, increasing our reference library in that regard. So please let us know what you'd like us to talk about. Our Summer Software Showcase, the SSS.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to our picks of the week. And also in traditional Wells Tech fashion, our guests go first. So that means you, Jason, got a pick this week?
Yeah, I do. My pick this week is actually a hardware pick. We're talking about the Intel Classmate PC convertible PC. It's a specification that's released by Intel for other vendors to kind of follow it. So it's not made specifically by Intel, but they're netbooks that are made for classroom use. So they're a little bit more rugged. They'll take a 30-inch drop, and they have reinforced corners and real sturdy glass and all of that kind of stuff. But the really cool thing about these that I really like is they have a screen that you can rotate and turn it around, and it turns it into a tablet. And it's still, so you've got a tablet that's running Windows, and in our setting, that's a really neat thing. So we'll be deploying a bunch of those next school year. It'll be really interesting to see what teachers do with that, and how that kind of affects the education that our teachers are able to provide.
Sure.
And the other really neat thing about them is that they're very inexpensive compared to other tablets, which can cost upwards of $2,000-$3,000. These are only $499 a piece, which is pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. So how big are the screens? I'm looking at them online here.
It's about
11 inch or a little
smaller.
Yeah,
it's like 10.2 inches is what they quoted at. But it's a 1366 by 768 display. So
okay. I mean,
it's pretty high resolution. It's a dual core Atom processor, which, it's not as robust as something else, but it definitely gets the job done for what you need it to do.
And is this is a solid state drive? So these are going to boot up pretty quick, aren't they?
Yes, you have the option of getting a solid state drive. It depends on the vendor that you purchase it from. So Intel releases the specifications, and then from there, the vendors put it together to their specifications, like in customizations and things like that.
Okay.
But you can get it with a solid state drive, and we're actually doing that in our setting. It ends up adding about $20. So
sure.
I mean, it's not a whole lot more expensive to go that route.
Yeah, and it makes a big difference in getting students up and running quickly, because that's really a big disruption if you got to wait for something to boot up every time.
Right.
Like a traditional netbook just takes forever because they're low power to begin with.
Right.
And if they don't have that solid state drive, then you're really churning and you're wasting a lot of time.
Yep.
It's like they sell it in two different kinds of batteries, a 3-cell and a 6-cell battery.
That's
right. The 3-cell is rated at 4.7 hours, a 6-cell at 11.5, which is awesome. That'll get you definitely through a whole day of pretty good use. So these look like nice little devices. You'll have to let us know how it goes.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted for sure.
And the fact that you can drop this sucker is, I think that's a big plus. Because that's
going to happen.
That's going to happen, yes.
I'm more excited about the antimicrobial. You get kids sneezing on those things. And
that's going to happen too.
Kind of yucky.
Oh, yeah. So what grade levels are going to get these in your school district?
These will be available K-6.
Oh, really? Down to K even? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Then they'll definitely be put through their paces.
Yes. That's for sure.
Cool. Good pick. So anybody can get these, and I assume if you get a bunch of them, you can get a little bit of a discount with the bulk purchase. So
yeah, it depends on who you're working
yep.
through,
but yep.
And they are available. CTL is the name of the company that'll just sell you one off at a time. You can just buy them right off of their website.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Sally, you have a pick for us this week.
My turn, and this one's an education-oriented pick as well. This is the PTO Today website, and a lot of times when I share things on the podcast, it's from the perspective of the technology coordinator for our local elementary school, but this is from the perspective of the mom involved with PTO coordinator of our local elementary school, and so right. I'm changing hats, mm-hmm. and I'm thrilled with all the resources that you can find out on the PTO Today website. They're just set up to hold your hand through the whole PTO process. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes PTO is not that well attended and kind of taking a back seat to the many other priorities our parents have in their day-to-day lives. But this website is there with just loads of fresh ideas for parental involvement, for fundraising, for events and programs, planning and organizing your PTO group. You'll find just really great resources here. And I am the voice of experience because I actually made use of some of their events resources. They have a whole section dedicated to family school family night. So just bringing together your parents and students for a school event. And we did one of these at our school this spring called Family Reading Night. So I went on the PTO Today website and signed up for their Family Reading Night information packet, and immediately I was able to download some resources. And then also in the mail I received posters and other resources that we could use. So it was pretty much a kit in a box kind of concept. All we had to do was follow their instructions, and we pulled off a really well-received fun evening focusing on family reading for our school. I wrote a blog post about it, so if you want to see more of our specific experience, you can head on over to sallydraper.com and read about our family reading night and see lots of pictures and things. But they sent us ideas for structuring the whole evening, ideas for fun snacks around the reading theme, ideas for giveaways. So they even sent us a free book to give away at the end of the evening. And all of that totally for free from this PTO Today website. They have other ideas like Go Green Night or Family Movie Night if you're looking to plan an event for your PTO next school year. They also have some great resources related to internet safety. And Martin, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before. You did some internet safety presentations and made use of their resources.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was just going to make that comment. I would totally agree. Very professionally done. And they have they kind of give you the whole thing. So they have some FAQ sheets. They have materials lists. They have anything that you would need, promotional material, copy for emails, all that kind of stuff. So they've done a nice job.
For our reading night, they sent us a really nice, actually two color flyers that we actually had printed up at MLC. So we had some really slick professional flyers to hand out with ideas for reading at home and how to make family reading part of your day-to-day activities and things like that. So just excellent resources, a real blessing to our school. And I'd encourage you guys to check out our family reading night and plan one next year.
Very good. My pick, like Jason's, is a hardware pick, and it's mobile related. A lot of us have mobile devices, whether they be iPods, iPads, iPhones, Android tablets, or phones, Windows phones, whatever they are. And one big challenge with a lot of devices is battery life, especially if you're not close to a power source or you're rather mobile, as you sometimes might be over the weekend, for instance, and you're not close to a place to charge things up. So, and I do a lot of traveling myself, so I'm in need of an external battery on occasion. And I did quite a bit of research to find the best value for a mobile battery. And what I basically determined is a name that's been around for quite a while, especially with iPhone products, is Mophie, M-O-P-H-I-E, Mophie.com. They make a number of products. Some of them are specific to the iPhone, Mophie Air and things that are basically cases for the iPhone, but they also make just some standalone external batteries. And my pick is the Mophie Juice Pack Power Station. And this is a little device about maybe a little bit smaller than a deck of cards, a little bit thinner than a deck of cards, and maybe about the same weight. But it really just has two ports on it. It has a micro USB, which is where it gets its charge from. You can plug it into the wall, or you can plug it into a powered USB port on your computer to charge it up. And then to get power from the device, it has a regular USB port, and it's kind of a bring your own cable approach where you plug in your cable to it and then into your device, whether that's an iPad or an iPod or an Android phone in my case. It charges it basically. And this has 4,000 milliamps, and that will in most cases charge up your phone, that the traditional phone, two or three times off of this. And it's a fast charge. It has a high output, so it'll charge it as fast as you plugging it into the wall. And that's a real plus too, because you want to kind of get it and get it done. It'll do an iPhone two or three times. It doesn't have quite enough juice to do an iPad. An iPad has a huge battery, and those of you that have one know that it lasts quite a long time. But this will get it 80 to 90% charge, which is pretty good for this little device. And dead simple. There's only one button on it. You press a button to see how much charge is in it, and four LED lights show up. Four means that it's full. It takes about an hour or so to charge itself. And just very portable. It's about the size of a phone as well. So you just throw this in your bag or purse or whatever, and you're good to go. And this has been a lifesaver on a number of occasions, because my phone will not quite get through an entire day if I'm using it pretty actively. So this comes in real handy, especially if I'm on the road. Price is $79. Little expensive, but definitely worth the price, in my opinion, because it really gives a lot of charge for that amount of money. And there are a couple of variations. There's one that's kind of a ruggedized power station, where if you watch their commercials, they show a hiker, and he butterfingers it down the hill and into the lake. And pulls it out of the lake, and it still works. So I didn't quite need that, but that's about $129. So if you're clumsy and you do a lot of hiking by the lakes, maybe that's the one for you. But this one works fine for most every other purpose. So that's the Mophie Juice Pack Power Station.
You know, you just opened my brain up to a whole new level now, because we spend a lot of time charging our stuff in the car. We have a lot of variety of car charging mm-hmm. capabilities, but I love the portability of this. It's yep. pretty cool.
Yep. I just throw it in the bag and it's always there. So good stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to community feedback.
Well, we have just one thing we want to spend a little time talking about today, and that is the recent video that came out of Lakeside Lutheran High School. I don't know how many of our listeners saw it. I know it went a little bit viral. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of students sharing it. But late last week, Lakeside Lutheran Administration gave their students 35 minutes, a window of 35 minutes to involve the entire high school population and all the administrators and teachers in a video. And this is one of these one take videos that never stops. Mm-hmm. And they did it as a lip dub. They had some music that they were mouthing the words to throughout the entire video. And they basically toured the entire campus nonstop, including a ride on an elevator, up and down staircases, in and out of buildings. And in the process, they featured, I think, every single student group that exists on the campus of Lakeside.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like it, in more than one.
Yeah. There were, you know, shots of the marching band and the choreographed dance mm-hmm. groups and yep. The weightlifters and the wrestlers and the art groups, and they walked through the school office, and there was some administrator being photocopied. His face was on the glass of the mm-hmm. copy machine. All the bus drivers were there. It was just an amazing
effort. It's fun. They must have had a ball.
Yeah. And so I had to write for more information. Inquiring minds want to know. And I heard from Mr. Todd Hagbarth, who is the teacher behind the effort. He teaches two sections of videography, which was a brand new course at Lakeside this year. And here's a little bit of the backstory on this video. He says the video was planned by the two videography sections this semester. A lot of time was spent brainstorming ideas, routes, music, etc. The students learned a great deal about how difficult it can be when people have differences of opinion mm-hmm. on a project, and how rewarding that. It can be when everyone's willing to sacrifice a little for a team effort. I love that. Mm-hmm. So he said each videography student took a share of the responsibilities, including being a leader of various groups in the video, obtaining permissions for various things, camera work, talent, sharing information with people in various groups using Google Docs, lining up the lip dubbers and drawing maps. Lots of effort was put into the timing. It's an amazing group of students that tackled so many responsibilities. And then he gets into a little of the logistics. He says the administration allowed the videography class to have 35 minutes to shoot the video on Thursday, May 17th. The class knew they would only there would only be enough time to do it at two takes at the most. So they had two chances to get this done. The first take was not so good, since there'd never been a practice. Many groups had never had the chance to get together and practice their individual parts. And he says, it is truly a gift from God that the second take turned out as well as it did. So,
and it's, it is fun to watch. Yeah,
it is very fun.
They're all having fun. And nice culmination of the project.
Says almost everybody in the whole school was in it. They had a couple of students absent and a few of the teachers were missing, but a couple of the students were gracious enough to actually be behind the camera instead of in front of the camera, so they aren't captured in the video, but they were a part of the effort as well. The reaction has been just unbelievable. It's brought the school together, and almost everybody related to the school has said that they've watched the video multiple times. They're all excited about it. And then I love this. I asked them if there were any other interesting projects they were working on, and he said the students have taken on other projects like creating YouTube videos that answer biblical questions that many people have, and so they're still working to get everything uploaded to the web. Maybe we'll have some more video features in the future from his students, but their final exam was creating some movie trailers. They were working on those for the end of school efforts, and he's just enjoyed the whole creativity that he's seen coming out of these students. So great effort, Lakeside Lutheran. We're really proud for you, and keep up the good work.
Nice. And maybe it's an inspiration for other similar classes, but that sounds like a lot of work, but looks like they definitely had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, and we will have the featured video in our show notes, so check out the Wells Tech webpage if you haven't yet seen the lip dub video.
Very nice. Sally, what are we up to next week?
Next week is the beginning of June, and that means it's a Seven Best Show. That's our one of our themes for the 2012 podcast season, and that is that each month we look at the seven best of something, and next month it's the seven best bookmarking tools and tips. So we'll have a countdown of our favorites and hopefully some of our community input as well of bookmarking tools so that you can stay organized.
Very nice. As always, we invite your contributions to the show. Many ways to do that. WellsTech.wells.net. There's icons across the top right that shows you, you know, how to connect with us via Twitter, Facebook, Delicious, Digo, Google+, the Wells Tech Listserv, voicemail. Pardon me?
Pinterest?
That's not on my list for some reason here, Sally.
Oh, we got to get that added. Sorry.
It's not that I overlooked it intentionally, but I'm sure I would have. I'm sure I would have remembered that.
Put it at the top next time.
Yep. Email wellstech@wells.net. Voicemail 405 for Wells, 405-367-9357. Haven't had a voicemail in a while. Would love to have one. So give us a holler. Let's close the show with the music of Branches Band. Go Tell It on the Mountain from their album, A Branch is Growing. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Sally. Blessings on your work this summer and your training endeavors. Talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.
Go tell it on the mountain. Cheers.